Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Rebels beware. Rebels beware. The scripture says that the wicked shall be turned into hell. Psalm chapter 9, verse 16 and 17. The Lord is known by, how is the Lord known? By the judgment which He executed. Isn't it interesting that we rarely hear of any of the mountains of Scripture on the God of judgment? Abraham called the Lord the judge of all the earth. Yet we never hear this doctrine. And Scripture tells us in Hebrews 6, 1 through 3, that one of the principles, the very elementary foundational principles of the doctrine of Christ, includes judgment to come, you see. And we also see and hear very little preparation coming out of the mouths of those that are leading toward the body of Christ to be ready for the return of Jesus. The Apostle Paul did three things to prepare the body of Christ to meet Jesus when He comes, to be ready when He comes. And he did these three things: PWT, preach, warn, and teach. We rarely hear anyone warning about the many false prophets that are going out among us, which will deceive many. Matthew 24:11. We hear very, very little, because perhaps those who don't warn don't want to be exposed, because they themselves are wolves. Seems like to me any even half good shepherd to protect his sheep would warn them not to go running off alone by the forest, or, you know, get out from the pack and from under his care, because there are lions and wolves there to devour them if they do. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 20 through 32, he shed tears day and night for 3 years, knowing that there were going to be wolves in sheep's clothing that were going to enter in among the people of God and devour them, as Jesus said, when he said in Matthew 7:15, concerning these wolves in sheep's clothing, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening," that means devouring, "wolves." Isn't it interesting that today we rarely hear a message on false teachers, hell, judgment to come, sin? I mean, why preach holiness when we don't even preach that there is sin that puts us outside of the holiness of God? There are 17 specific sins. There are lists of sins throughout the New Testament, in particular, old and new. One of them includes 17 works of the flesh, and guarantees that no one who is doing those things will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. You know, that's kind of like a gauge. God loves us and is so merciful that if we read that list and realize we're living in some of those sins, we can know it's time to repent. That is the mercy of God. Recently, we've been continuing to preach the essential doctrines of sin, repentance, holiness, and the return of Christ, and continue to receive contact from people all over the world that are absolutely scared out of their gourd, if you will. They're absolutely frightened, fearing for their eternal souls, and being cast into the lake of fire, and they're coming to repentance. They're coming to full repentance and beginning to follow Jesus. In fact, some of them, all of them, are already ministering back to me and others, because they weren't told, go find the church. They were told, lay down your life, take up the cross, and follow Jesus every day. He holds you fully responsible to seek His face every day. and to get in his word so his word can get into you and learn to walk with him on his terms, stated terms, which are between Genesis and Revelation. It's amazing what God can do when man doesn't get in the way. If you send somebody to these local churches instead of just helping them grow in grace themselves, get in the word themselves, you're doing them a disservice, friends. I can no longer and will not do that with clear conscience. I can't do it, okay, because these local churches aren't there to see that Christ is reigning in their lives and that they're learning to deny themselves, take up the cross and follow Jesus, looking for his soon return, repenting as needed, confessing any and all sin, and learning the word of God for themselves. If you got a local church like that, you got not only rare, extremely rare. I can almost not even believe it. A lot of folks that think they go to a good local church don't even know the word themselves. So they don't know what's being left out. Let me ask you, is that pastor or those pastors preaching on the judgment to come? Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. And what we just read, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. Psalm 9, 16, etc. The book of Revelation, the Thessalonian books, all over the Bible. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And he's coming back for those that obey him. Hebrews 9, 27 to 28. It's on every page of the Bible, yet you rarely ever hear anybody preach on judgment to come, sin, specifics on sin, the fact that the wages of sin is still death, okay, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We never hear anything on holiness. God said he's holy, 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 twice, not even once, but twice, and commanded that you, if you're going to be with him, be holy as he is holy. We never hear messages on the cross. The Bible, on every page of the Bible is the cross, that it's at the center of the original gospel, but most are preaching another gospel, something other than the contents of the New Testament canon. And therefore, let me say this, it's more about what they're not teaching than what they are teaching. And if you're not in the Word of God, beloved, daily devouring, studying it, discussing it with other believers, learning to walk with God yourself on his terms, which are stated between Genesis and Revelation, you are going to be deceived. See, you don't love the Lord. He's not important enough to you to read his letter, to read his word. See, that's why you're not in the word. You don't love the Lord. You're full of the love of self. You serve self every day, but you refuse to repent, lay down your life, and serve the Savior. That's why you're not in the word. And that's why he said, my people are destroyed. You're going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. You've already backslidden if you're not in the word of God. You're not going to know what's being left out. If you don't know the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith by looking at them and poring over them and applying yourself to them with your own two eyes. So Psalm 9, 16 and 17, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. You know, we often, almost everything we hear today is all about this God of love. He's an unconditional love. Yeah, he's unconditional in his love. He will love you all the way off the cliff into eternal damnation, where you will never escape and will be consciously tormented throughout the ages when 1 million years in Earth's time have passed. Not one second will have expired from eternity's time clock. Jesus spoke and commanded that if our hands offend thee, our hand, cut it off. It's better for you to go into life and to glory with him maimed. He's going to restore all your members at that point. Than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Never shall be quenched. So is eternal torment forever? Of course it is. Read Mark 9, 42 through 50. Okay, read it in the King James Bible. Most of the fake Bibles have either altered or removed it. And your worm is going to die not. The fire is not going to be quenched. No sin is worth going to hell for. It's time for a season of fasting and prayer until you're so dead you don't have the energy to sin, and you're so full of the grace, the glory, and the love, and the power of God that you are living in a momentous way, a fruit-bearing, humble walk of an obedient, worship-filled disciple. Amen. Now, notice verse 17, Psalm 9, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. The wicked are going to hell. Yet we never hear about hell anymore, do we? That is the eternal judgment of God upon everyone, every rebel who dies in sin, everybody that puts self before the Savior, even though they swear they're saved. There's so many like that. Titus chapter 1 verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. They don't have the fruit of good works. Therefore, it's obvious they're denying him the right, the privilege to rule in their lives every day. That's why they refuse to lay down their lives. That's why he's not reigning. They refuse to change, to repent, to lay down their life and follow Jesus. They have a mere form of godliness, but they deny the power, that is the authority of God, to rule in their daily lives. They're lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a resume of the rebels we see all around us today who are churchgoers or whatever they are. They've been saved in the past, but there's no semblance of the fruit of the Spirit of God in their daily lives. They are not letting his light, Jesus' light, shine because it's no longer in them. It's been extinguished through their rebellion and their sin because, you know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, Jesus said, John 3:19-21. So God is known by the judgment that he executes, and he tells us that the wicked are going to be judged, they're going to be turned into hell because they forget God. God warned his people, Israel, over and over and over about forgetting him. He said, thou shalt not forget, ye shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. Let me give you a little measuring stick. If you aren't daily looking for a demotion, that is motion, you're going downward, demotion. The D always represents down. In this case, it's a blessing, because when you're going down into the death of Christ every day and you're dead and buried, that's what water baptism was supposed to symbolize, then Christ, who never misses his cue, he is the resurrection and the life, is raising you up by his glory and grace and power, and that's when his life is living through you. You cannot live the Christian life. You must be crucified, and Christ must be commandeering and sitting on the throne of your heart. And that's what's going to happen when you do it his way. You say, God, I give up. I can't overcome sin. I'm going to let go and let God, oh God, take over my life. That'd be a great prayer today. Amen. So we're going to preach sin. We're going to preach hell. We're going to preach the holiness of God, without which no man shall see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. And we're going to do it all the way to the end in the name of Jesus and by the grace of God. Divine judgment, hell, the lake of fire, the fear of the Lord, the cross, that is the crucified life, and the blood of Jesus Christ, saints. We must preach the original gospel. Anybody that's not doing it is preaching another gospel and is accursed. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 through 9. So who are the wicked spoken of here when Psalm 9:17 says the wicked shall be turned into hell? The wicked are the lawless, those who do their own thing instead of God's. They deny the Lord. They deny the power of the Lord. They're satisfied with a mere form or formula of godliness. They are in that compartmentalized, I go to church on Sunday situation, instead of saying, I am the church. I'm laying down my life. I'm going to get in the Word, seek God in prayer and praise, and do ministry every day of my life, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. That right there is the life of the New Testament disciple. And anybody that's not living it is a counterfeit. But these pastors have sold these people on the idea that they need them. They need the pastors. When's the last time you saw a pastor look you dead in the eye and said, go and deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus? You don't need me. You don't need this ministry. Now, if you want to come fellowship, we're here, but you don't need us. No, they're so busy getting these people sewn into their vision and rendering their obeisance and allegiance to them. That's what the whole trick is. When you start discerning, you start seeing why they do what they do. They got a mortgage to pay. They make, many of them make an exorbitant amount of money instead of double honor, which would be about $80,000 a year in our economy at this point. It's double what the normal person makes, you know. So they got a lot of bills to pay because they've got themselves caught up in this greed wheel. And so they don't want to talk about these essential doctrines of the Christian faith because they want you there. They want your allegiance. They call it fellowship, but it's really that they're making merchandise of you. And they're going to be damned. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Now, just because you've never heard anybody expose false teachers as the Bible so prevalently does, doesn't mean this isn't something taught in the Bible. It's taught throughout the Bible. In fact, there are like 6 to 8 whole chapters dedicated to exposing, that is, warning us about false teachers. That's not to mention all the other scriptures and passages all over the New and Old Testament. Here's one of them right here, Isaiah 9, verse 16. For the leaders, the leaders of this people, God's people, caused them to err, E-double-R. That's the root word for error. So it's the leaders that have commandeered and misled these people into error. And that's what we're talking about here. It's what they leave out. They tailor make their messages to make you feel good. They want to talk about your destiny, miracles, all of these secondarily important things. There's whole all kinds of buzzwords they use. You can actually look up the word buzz on safeguardyoursoul.com. And we have a message about that and kind of point out a few sample examples of the buzzwords they use as they position and manipulate you for their own self-serving agenda, because the Bible says these men, their God is their belly, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Anybody not preaching the cross of Christ, the blood of his cross and the crucified life he requires and commands you to live is a false teacher 100% irrefutably. Another example also in the book of Isaiah, beginning in verse 10, Isaiah 56, his watchmen are blind. That's willingly, by the way, ignorant and blind. And it's the blind, Jesus said, that will lead the blind into the ditch. And that would end up and ultimately be the ditch of eternal damnation, which is called hell, which will be cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20. So his watchmen, that's just leaders, are blind. They are all ignorant. They're willingly blind. That's why they don't preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. They don't endeavor to do such. They intentionally leave out things as they make merchandise of you because their God is their belly, and that's what they live for. They have an agenda out that's not the agenda of God, as we see in Christ and his apostles and in Paul, etc. Paul said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake." His watchmen are blind, Isaiah 56:10. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. What does a dog do when danger is encroaching your home? A dog will bark, but these guys give, and what does that bark do? It's a warning to you that something's going on that dog can sense. He's got senses greater than a man. He's made by God for man as a protect one, and one aspect to be a companion, but also to sound an alarm when there's danger lurking and coming at you, right? So you can get locked and loaded and get ready to unleash some lead on somebody that might be trying to break into your home. And so the picture being painted here is that false teachers don't warn. They don't do what Paul did. He said he did 3 things to prepare the body of Christ for the return of Christ and to be ready. Hello. Preach, warn, teach. Colossians 1:28 PWT. Preach, warn, teach. But false leaders, they're blind. They're willingly blinded because they're embellishing themselves. They're not living as unto the Lord. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. They cannot sound an alarm. They don't do that. That's why they don't sound the alarm and warn the flock of God, as Paul did concerning the Ephesians in chapter 20 of Acts. And he says they're sleeping. They're lying down. They love to slumber. They don't spend 5 minutes with the people that they're supposedly pastoring per month, other than their little canned weekly so-called church services, which in many cases is little more than a pep rally or a circus with a conductor and a staff to entertain the people. Okay, so have you heard this lately? Recently, I was asked to do a little caregiving to a family friend, a wonderful man, that had just gotten out the hospital, and he likes to watch us, not real intently, but he puts on the channel Daystar, which I haven't watched in probably a couple of decades or something, but, you know, there was a few good things on there as I kind of tuned in and out, but there was no warning. You know, we see the scriptures coming to pass where Jesus said in the last days, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. We see blind watchmen, as we read here in Isaiah 56:10. They're all ignorant, dumb. They cannot bark. They can't sound an alarm to alert you. They're not preaching to you what the scripture says about being ready for the return of Christ. So what good is it if you learn everything else, even in the Bible, if you're not even going to be ready, fervently seeking the Lord and grounded in Christ's grace and his word, etc., and ready to meet him? What good is it, any of it? Okay, the most predominant doctrine of the whole New Testament, it appears one in every 25 verses, is the return of Christ. And if you're not ready when he comes, like the five foolish virgins who weren't ready and were shut out of the eternal bridal chamber, what good is it? That's what I would ask you rhetorically. What good is it? What good would it be for men to gain even the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark chapter 8, verse 35 through 37. Notice what Isaiah says again. He continues. He gives you specifics. Yea, they are, that is, these blind watchmen, these false leaders, of which the apostate modern church is full of. How do you think the modern church, as it's viewed on the external, actually got to where it is? Well, here it is. It's the leaders of this people, we read in Isaiah 9:16, that caused them to go into error. Okay, and then he says here in Isaiah 56:11, yeah, they are greedy dogs. Didn't we read and cite actually a moment ago 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 through 3, where he's speaking specifically of false teachers and false prophets who will make merchandise of the people, and they do it with feigned words, fictitious words that sound real good to the untrained ear, the ear that is not circumcised by daily studying of the Word of God, the meat, that is, into the meat of the Word of God, which is to those who by reason of use, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. But notice Peter here. Let's see, let's look at Peter real quick. There we go. Okay, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 through 3. Again, the Bible is replete, it is full of warnings about false leaders whom Satan uses to mislead his people. The only way you can be misled, though, is if you're not at the feet of Christ, anchored there, studying his word for yourself, and not depending on any man to tell you who God is or what he requires or give you your image from God. You get that yourself. We need to stop watching so-called Christian Bible movies and get all of your theology, that is, all that you believe about God, from your own personal study of his word, where you're listening to him, you're drinking from his well, a heavenly well of wisdom and truth. So we learn who the Lord is and we walk with him. That's why he gave us his word, according to his word, so that we're not misled. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119:105. Paul told Timothy, and this is a direct command to each of us, study, you study, to show yourself, there it is, approved, not unto men, but unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're not studying the word of God, you can't rightly divide the word of truth. And so when people are selectively using and siphoning out certain Bible verses to the exclusion of the rest of the Word of God, if you don't know the Word of God yourself, I mean extensively know it from studying it every day, you're not going to be able to discern what he is leaving out, and you're going to be misled. People that don't love God enough don't care to study his word. That's for the pastor. Boy, there's a counterfeit right there. That's not for the pastor. That's for you. Elders are just among you. We got the wrong structure that has been set up in a modern church, modeled after the phony Roman Catholic cult, where you got your clergy and then under them is the laity. That's not what the scripture teaches. 1 Peter 5, elders are just simply those that have walked with God longer, and they're among you. They're not above you. That's an absolute antichrist posture for the false leadership to reign over the people. Okay, so Peter says, 2 Peter, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 2, but there were false prophets. Ah, y'all were thinking I made that up, didn't you? It's all over the Bible. In fact, we have two books on this. One's called Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. The other one's called Predators in Our Pulpits. And there's so many passages and volumes of scripture that you must get to know concerning false teachers and false prophets among us. Okay, they're available on Amazon. Also, safeguardyoursoul.com. In fact, we have a kind of a package deal on those two books. And okay, so, but there were false prophets also among the people. Notice the false prophets are also among you, even as there shall be false teachers. Bible also speaks of false apostles twice. Okay, among you. So he mentions false prophets, then false teachers who privily or secretly shall bring in. What are they going to bring in, these false teachers? Damnable heresies. Not only heresies, lies that damn the souls of those that believe them. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, notice, many, there's not only many false prophets, the scripture says twice, Matthew 24:11, and I believe it's 1 John 4:1. The Bible never says there are many true prophets. Those words are never found in scripture. But twice in the New Testament, many false prophets. And this is in conjunction with that. Notice the mind of the Holy Spirit revealed here. 2 Peter 2:2. This whole chapter is about false teachers. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. You notice the false churches are so big, huh? Joel Osteen has thousands that want their ears tickled every week, and yet they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because they won't repent, and they have a mere form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. In other words, they deny Christ the authority to reign in their lives because they're going to do it their own way. These are rebels. Rebels. They might look religious, but they're rebels. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Who follow whose? The false teachers and false prophets you just mentioned. In verse 1, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, they malign the Lord and only give a certain portion of his truth, because they have an agenda. See, they are not given over to the Lord. False prophets and false teachers are rebels, and they lead other rebels. These are the blind leading the blind, but it's all willing. They are willingly deceived. Okay, and through look at the detail here. And through what? Covetousness. These false teachers and false prophets, mentioned in verse 1, he says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned or fictitious words make merchandise of you. You know, one of the absolute demonic frauds that came on Daystar while I was listening recently as I was caring for my dear friend, it was Jesse Duplantis, Jesse the Devil, the child of Satan Duplantis. And I mean, this guy, if you believe one word this guy says, you are delusional, my friend. That guy is making up stories. I mean, he's got one story, and his whole message was when he visited heaven, supposedly. He's been doing that, milking people on that one for decades, this damnable devil, Jesse Duplantis. And in one of his messages, he's talking about being in heaven and how Jesus said, man, you got a newer Harley than I got. You don't really think that's the Jesus of the Bible, do you? No, that's what the Bible calls another Jesus. First of all, Jesus doesn't need a Harley, doesn't want a Harley. That technology is beyond infinitely less than what he has. He's the Almighty, Revelation 1:8. You know, the Bible says that the true under-shepherds of the Lord will teach discernment, Ezekiel 44:23. If a man's not teaching you to discern false prophets, it's simply because he is one, period. Period. Ezekiel 44:23. If he's not warning you about false teachers, he's a false teacher himself. That's clear by the very absence of this doctrine and concern for the people of God. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, and he calls anybody that he calls to servant lead to warn the people and keep them safe. What do you think a shepherd does out in the field when there's sheep? Sheep are good food for lions and wolves, right? This is the illustrative language the Bible uses all the way through. But what does a good shepherd do? He keeps those sheep close to him, and he's got weapons against those animals, and he warns those sheep and leads them into green pastures away from the enemy. Amen. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words. These guys are slick talkers, but once you start seeing through them, these are devils right here. These are false teachers all the way to the core. They're made to be broken and destroyed, these filthy animals. And that's what's going to happen to them. They're going to hell irrevocably. And so is everybody that follows them. They are bidding Godspeed to the enemies of Christ. And so through covetousness, see, they have an agenda to get rich in this world. Shall they with feigned words? I mean, these guys are collecting $50 million to buy another plane because the two or three they already have, four or five, aren't good enough, like Kenneth Copeland and like this Jesse Duplantis devil. They're making merchandise of you, and people just lap this up. It's sickening, man. But, you know, heresies have a purpose. There must also be heresies among you, that those that are approved of God may be manifest. 1 Corinthians 11:19. These people are rebels that follow these devils, like Jesse Duplantis, who's saying that Jesus' Harley is older than his. See, what is he doing there? He's, in a slick, deceptive, insidious way, positioning himself above the Son of God. That's an antichrist spirit behind that. Anti meaning in place of and against. The most insidious definition is he puts himself in place of God. He, like Satan, who wanted to be lifted up on the same level or above God. That's why he was kicked out of heaven. Isaiah 14:12-15. I will elevate myself. You know what it says, the five eyes of Lucifer before he was ejected violently from the presence of the Almighty, and irrevocably he is separated from the Almighty and is the arch enemy of the Lord. And people like this who try to position themselves on the same level or above Jesus Christ, the nail-scarred, risen Savior, who is the Almighty, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Almighty, Revelation 1:8, are totally antichrist. And this he's talking about, he's running around, you know, in his so-called preaching, which wasn't preaching anything, just telling these stories about being in heaven. And he's acting like, talking like he was hobnobbing around with people like Gideon and Adam, and you know, as if he's on the same level as them too. The way he positions all this stuff is very telling. Saints, we need to pray for the gift of discerning of spirits, and also as we study every day, the Word of God every day. Anybody who's not in the Word every day, non-negotiably, is already backslidden, period. Then the Lord is going to sharpen our discernment. Hebrews 5:11-14. Maybe we'll read that in a minute. Okay, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, man, there's some slick talking devils out there, make merchandise of you. What does that mean? Well, they're in it for the money. And then they come up with this excuse. They tell their prey, P-R-E-Y, the gullible,
well, he doesn't make money off the church. He makes money off his books he sells, so it's okay that he's rich.
Okay, so let me ask you about that. So he's lying to people in the pulpit and on paper in his books, and it's okay that he becomes rich by lying to people? Show me where he's preaching repentance, judgment, hell, sin, the cross, holiness, ready for the return of Christ. Tell me where he's preaching those cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith in his books or in the pulpits. And yet you're saying it's okay that he's making merchandise of the people who are buying his books as he teaches falsely? You got to be kidding. Repent. Okay, so we do have a message, a podcast, and written text also on safeguardyoursoul.com called Top 12 Missing Essential Doctrines of the Modern Church World. Put on your seatbelt when you listen to that one. just put in top 12, the number 12, missing essential doctrines in the modern church world. Put it in the search box. Just put the number 12. That's all you need, probably. And I want to encourage, as I'm speaking of that, to use safeguardyoursoul.com as a resource, not only to learn the different doctrines of the Christian faith, but also to share with others and turn them on, share it with them so they can. That's why this platform has been created and it continues to grow. There are over 1,800 published articles or posts on it, hundreds of Christ-centered, scripture-rich podcasts, and it's constantly being added to. And this is all for your edification in Christ. Amen. So verse 3, 2 Peter 2, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Then he goes into talking about how if God did not spare the angels, he's also going to damn them, okay? Every false teacher and false prophet, remember the context, verse 1, false teachers and false prophets, he names, their damnation slumbereth not. In other words, it's coming sure as you're breathing. So now let's see, Hebrews, we're going to go into that a little bit, just touch on it. Chapter 5, I love this passage. This is leading up to the six principal or foundational elemental doctrines of Christ that begin in verse 1 of the next chapter. Okay, verse chapter 6, Hebrews 5:11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. That's a sad place to be when we're dull of hearing. Notice, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, we're able to hear as our hearts are circumcised by the two-edged sword of the word of God. I want you to meditate on what he's saying and how he says it there in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. See, they had to be retaught things they had learned a while back. You know, when you're not really listening, you're dull of hearing because you're not tuned in. So many people, they'll watch a football, a basketball game, or something in the world that has no eternal value and is not of the kingdom. They're going to learn all the quarterbacks, all the best players in baseball, whatever it is, okay? I'm just giving examples. There are many others. But they got a sponge of a mind. They might like automobiles. They can tell you what, you know, from 20 yards away or 100 yards away, they can tell you that's a 19 whatever vehicle. Why? Why are they so keen and remember that? Because that's what they love. And the Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. 1 John 2:15. They don't love the Lord. If they did, they'd be learning his word and be teaching. And the best way to learn is to teach. When you read the Bible, learn it to absorb it for yourself and your relationship with Christ and to teach others. Jesus commanded you, if you name the name of Christ, to go and teach all men all the things he's taught you. Matthew 28, the last three verses in that book, verse 18 through 20. Are you teaching the word to other people? We got one post on the site called Teach the Bible. Teach the Bible. That's the Great Commission. Go teach the Bible. God, he didn't say for you to worry about the results. Teach the Bible. Share the Word of God. Get it into the hearts of men in every way that you can. Verse 12, Hebrews 5, we already read that. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk, a lot of people I know claim to have been saved for years and even decades, and they're still on the milk of the word, isn't that something? They're in a vulnerable position to be deceived, and very likely are, and it begins with themselves. They're 100% guilty themselves because they're not in the word of God, and when they are, they're not absorbing it. They're dull of hearing because their hearts are set on something else other than knowing Christ, the very reason they were created. John 17, verse 3. For everyone that useth milk, milk represents the foundational, elemental doctrines of the Christian faith. I mean, some people that claim they've been saved for many years, they've been part of the church system in most cases, where they're told to shut up, sit down, and listen to the pastor and the few scripture he brings out. They don't study the word. They're not in the word. The word isn't in them. They couldn't talk for 5 minutes about Jesus. They couldn't give scripture about why they believe what they believe. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Are you unskillful in the word of God? For he is a babe. It's okay if you're a babe and you just got saved. I mean, I've got two guys right now that got saved within the last few months. There's hardly a time that they communicate with me, and we communicate all the time, that they aren't sharing scripture. See, because nobody told them to go find a church where they would be told, sit down, shut up, and get these crumbs, these few selective crumbs that Pastor Wonderful is going to give you every Sunday. I mean, you ask somebody to give you 5 minutes of scripture and talking about the scripture on any of the cardinal doctrines of Christ, just pick one. They can't even do that. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They can't have a working knowledge conversation with the Word of God. There's few things more enjoyable than letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly as the body of Christ. I got one brother I sit down with weekly, and we get lost in the Word. It goes by like that. I mean, just boom, it goes by. And it's, I looked at my clock after I left. I was like, man, I think we were there 4 hours. Might have been five. I don't know. We just get lost in the Word of God. It's not so much the time, but I'm just talking about the richness of the Word of God. And it's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Everyone that names the name of Christ should be rich in the Word of God. Jesus said, he that is of God hears God's words. If you love to hear God's words and you conform to it and you allow yourself to be corrected by it, you're of God. You're of God. John 8:47. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, there it is, the reason of use of the Word of God, have their senses, even their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The only way to get discernment is by reason of use, being in the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, fellowshipping in the Word of God. Isaiah 56 continues, these are greedy, they are greedy dogs. Didn't we just read 2 Peter 2:1-3, that they make merchandise of you? Same thing. They're greedy dogs. Also Philippians 3:18-19 says that their God is their belly. See, they serve their carnal appetites, not Christ. They're not crucified with Christ. They're not even in Christ. They might have been in the past, but they've long since backslidden. Because they love darkness rather than light, they refuse to repent. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They're never satisfied. I've got a list of some of these modern false prophets that everybody knows, like Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland. These people are worth, each of them, tens of millions of dollars. Wow. Yeah, and they got all that money. Paul addresses rich men in 1 Timothy 6. Of course, anybody in America is rich, but you know, but he doesn't tell them you're not saved because you're rich, but he said you need to be ready to give. He gives them specific instructions so that they're ready for judgment and ready to meet Christ, 1 Timothy 6. But these guys have made their fortunes by lying to people, by misleading people, all in the name of the Lord. They come in the name of the Lord, but they don't bring the original gospel of the Lord and the elemental and cardinal doctrines thereof. And that's how they fleece the flock. And that right there is pure evil. This is ungodly and illicit gain. There is another term for that, and it's called filthy lucre in the King James Bible. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, insatiable, because they're not right with God. I mean, you just got to wonder, how much is enough? These guys get tens of thousands, at least, of dollars a month on interest from the loot they have stolen from the people. All right, and anybody who supports them is going to be judged, that means sent to hell with them. 2 John 10:11, they are bidding Godspeed to an enemy of the Lord, and they're cursed and going straight to hell. And yet they'll defend those false teachers. And it's all because they've been turned over to strong delusion because they don't love the truth. They don't have a love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. And then Isaiah continues, the Holy Spirit through Isaiah the prophet, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, not God's and that of others. Everyone for his gain, that is personal gain, their own agenda, from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and more abundantly. So they presume upon the future. They have no urgency. They refuse to repent, sound the alarm, as a good dog does when he barks for his owner to alert him to somebody that's lurking outside of their home. Amen. So earlier I mentioned, and we're going to go ahead and close here in a moment, how we get so many calls, and especially lately, people that have listened and read all about hell and judgment and sin and God's holiness and how to be ready for Christ's soon return and the crucified life, the cross. And, you know, that's one sanctioned part of preaching, which we never, almost never hear. Notice Jude verse 22 and 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Amen. So some you're going to preach compassionately. God leads us. And others, you're going to save them. You're going to pull them out of the fire. You're going to save them with fear, pulling them out of the fire. You know, God doesn't have too many disciples, from my observation, that are going to preach both compassionately when needed and when needed, preach the fear of the Lord, pulling them out of the fire. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And we've been seeing people call. I mean, I've never seen so many people call trembling and wanting to make sure if they're right with God, because they are so scared to go to hell, and they ought to be. And if you're listening to this message, I pray you would not sleep well until you totally turn your life over to Christ in full, real repentance, which will always be manifested in good works, in ministry, and the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. All right, so we're going to go ahead and close this message there. But remember, Romans 14 tells us, in verse 12 actually, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Father, we pray for the holy fear of God to consume our innermost man, Lord, and imbue us with this fear, O God, and make our consciences so very sensitive to anything we would do to offend you, O God, and quicken us, cause us to be like David, a man after your own heart, quick to repent and confess any sin, O God. We thank you for the throne of grace where we can find, because of the blood of a lamb, Jesus, exclusively and only, we can find mercy and grace to help in time of need. We thank you that your compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great, great, great is your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that as far as the east is from the west, you have removed our transgressions from us. Our sins and iniquities you will remember no more, Lord, you said. You also said that if we confess those sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We love you, Lord, and thank you, Lord. We pray right now as we close this prayer that you would cause us, teach us your ways, God, teach us to live the crucified life whereby we are raised up by thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.